What do you think the greatest gift of the holidays is? Internet? I'd say internet. Yes, absolutely. It's of course, as easy as it's always been. You get an iMac 10 minutes out of the box, you're on the internet. But now, Apple gives you your own personal website. You can post your photographs for all your family to see all over the world, and your iMovies. And now you're the purveyor of, you're the generator of, you're the author of great stuff. Isn't it nicer to give than to receive?
Gobble, gobble, y'all! And welcome to Cold Customs Terrible. The best 30 plus novel conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arafat Elijah. Join me today. He's the king of the cranberry sauce, the baron of Brussels sprouts, the prince of pie. Leander Cady is here.
Hello.
Also with us, by the time you hear this, he'll undoubtedly be comatose on his couch, pants half unbuttoned and covered in gravy. Lewis Wallace is here.
Wow, you got like a time machine? You can see into the future? What's going on?
wait, actually, are you going to partake of the Thanksgiving food? Because you're doing like only fake foods made of corn now, right? And soy products?
No, I never ever shifted only to those things. I exhibit portion control. I might have to call a truce with the Lose It app tomorrow, though.
Oh, yeah. You got to force quit that for tomorrow.
I'm going to go dark.
Yes, indeed. Well, happy Thanksgiving to everyone who celebrates Thanksgiving. We cobbled together a nice little show for you guys this week, even though it's holiday week. It's a short week, and there's not really a ton of news to talk about. But do we have some stories to talk about this week? So I'm going to give you guys the update on my quest for a new MacBook Pro. Well, to have Apple trade up my MacBook Pro. For those of you that follow me on Twitter, you probably saw that I said I went into the Apple store and I asked to speak to a manager, and I grabbed a hold of that guy and I gave him a big old earful, and I have some very interesting details to share with you from that encounter. And also, I'll tell you a tale of three MacBooks. So there are some listeners who are also trying to get their MacBook Pros swapped up to the version with the new better, way better. We'll talk about that too, Vega GPUs. And we've all had very different experiences going in and trying to get Apple to take care of us. So we'll touch on those stories. And we got some other small stories in here. But before we jump into the meats and potatoes, let me go ahead and say thank you to OpsGenie for supporting this episode. OpsGenie empowers devs and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during incidents. It also gives teams the power to respond quickly and efficiently to unplanned issues and helps to notify all the right people through a smart combination of scheduling and escalation paths. With OpsGenie, your next incident doesn't stand a chance. Visit OpsGenie.com to sign up for a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's OpsGenie.com. Never miss a critical alert again with OpsGenie. That's OpsGenie.com. Also, a quick thanks to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is the sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. The experts at Casper work tirelessly to create a quality sleep surface that cradles your natural geometry in all the right places. The original Casper mattress provides a sleep surface with just the right amount of sink and bounce, and their breathable design helps you sleep cool throughout the night. Casper offers 2 other mattresses as well, the Wave and the Essential, in addition to a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. They even make dog mattresses now, and I hear those are magnificent. Although I sleep on a human version, you know, so I wouldn't know from personal experience. Everything is delivered right to your door. And you can enjoy free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. Plus, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. If you've never slept on a Casper before, baby, you're in for a real treat. Hey, do you wake up with aches and pains in your back? Maybe your arm's asleep? You just don't sleep well through the night? Well, a lot of people don't connect the fact that their mattress is 25 years old to the fact that they're not sleeping well. And when you lay on that Casper and it just starts wrapping around your body and you fall asleep and you wake up and your muscles aren't sore, your arm isn't half asleep, your back isn't sore, it's a night and day difference. And now is the perfect time to try Casper for yourself or give one to someone you care about. I think this is the best sale I've ever seen them have. If you go to casper.com/savings, you can get 10% off your entire order. casper.com/savings to save 10% off your entire order of any Casper mattress. This is only for a limited time, and the offer expires November 27th. Terms and conditions do apply. You know what I decided about Thanksgiving?
You hate turkey?
I love turkey, but I only like specific parts of the turkey. I only like the wing, specifically the wing tip, you know, like the very, very tip of the wing that gets all crunchy.
I love wings too.
You do?
Yes. They're delicious.
I hope that we never end up at the same Thanksgiving right. dinner together because there's only two and they're real small.
I wish the turkeys came with like 4 or 8 wings.
Well, give it some time. They'll figure out how to make that happen. But if you and I were in the same dinner together, I mean, I'd have to snap that wing off, stab you with it first, and then eat it. So yeah, it's just going through all the hassle of, you know, baking and all that kind of thing. And then you end up with all this white meat. The entire turkey is like 85% white meat. And no one wants the white meat. It's the worst part of the turkey.
No, 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 no.
Are you a white meat guy?
Yeah, oh, hell yeah.
You're kidding.
Do you put anything else? I won't touch the wing. Ugh, revolting. Oh,
wow. Do you put anything on that nasty dry white meat, or do you just well, we chew on it with your back molars?
We had to last time. Yeah, we had to douse it in gravy because I crucified it in the oven, cooked it too long. It was so dry, even the dog would eat it. And the cat too.
So your family made you eat it. Yeah. That's the whole point. The white meat is always like that. It's almost impossible to cook it so that it's actually juicy. I don't even think it's possible. You end up with a bunch of chalky, dry white meat and then that delicious, delicious, juicy, succulent dark meat. So that's the piece that I go for. But you know who kicks a who cooks a killer turkey, Lewis?
No.
Tim Cook.
I'll bet.
His Thanksgiving Day celebrations, well, first of all, they're mandatory, I heard. So he has a executive dinner, and everyone is expected to be there. They are contractually obligated to show up. And he wears his Kiss the Cook apron, which is always a big hit. Everyone loves that. It never gets old, actually. And he wears that, and he makes a spread. I mean, baby carrots, baby squash, baby quiche. He's real into baby vegetables because they're just like big vegetables, but they're small, which cracks him up. And before he serves dinner with that big, juicy, succulent turkey, you know, Tim Cook's from the South, right? The man can cook. He likes to give a toast. And as he's giving his toast, he hits his glass, right? And everyone is paying attention. And he starts giving this really heartfelt recount of the last year, how well Apple's done, how great everyone has been doing in their jobs. He looks over at Angela Ahrendts. She's, of course, tearing up, you know. He looks over at Eddie Q. Eddie Q's asleep. He looks over at Hair Force One. He's looking in a portable mirror that he brought.
Eddie Q's asleep. I just got that one. That was from that information report, wasn't it? He snoozes too much as meetings. Right.
Fred, Craig Federighi, he's looking into that portable mirror that he brought, making kissy faces at himself. Bob Mansfield, he's already eating his mashed potatoes. He hasn't even started. He wasn't even trying to wait. And then, of course, once the toast is over, Tim Cook, he raises his glass, so does everyone else, and he says, "Gobble, gobble, y'all." And the celebration begins. And they have an epic dinner, Lewis, let me tell you. I hope one day I'm invited to that celebration because that would be one of my bucket list items.
After that story, you might not be.
Well, it never hurts to hope. So, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. It's the only time each year I get to say gobble gobble y'all. And I want to say it every episode between now and the next Thanksgiving. So it's very cathartic for me to say that.
Why don't we talk about the most disgusting things we've ever eaten at Thanksgiving?
Oh, you want to go there?
Well, because I just remembered, you know, I went to see my wife. Her folks live in Arizona, and we went to Thanksgiving dinner at their place a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've never had so much sugar in one sitting in my life, you know. And that was just for the main course, because she had green beans covered in marshmallows.
Oh, that's a new one.
That were baked in the oven. And I think there was something else in there that was disgusting. But then the baked beans as well, you know, they were super sugary. Mm-hmm. And we had ham with, like,
baked beans?
Apricot jam on it. I think it was beans. No, maybe not. Okay, maybe I'm making that up. But,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's a British Thanksgiving type thing.
And then I'm she had some sure. kind of Jell-O salad?
Oh,
Does
yeah.
that sound right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah.
I
that's
was
a classic.
Disgusted. I was like, really, holy mackerel, this is, no wonder Americans are fat.
Yeah, you don't eat too much of that if you're trying to stay slim. What about the marshmallow salad? You know that one with like the coconut in it and then the canned fruits? And it's just...
What is that called?
It's what called is name Diabetic Delight.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Ooh. I always
just
called
go, like Fantasia or something.
Oh, you're right. It is called something whimsical like that, isn't it? I can't remember the name of it, though, but I'm sure many people out there know exactly what we're talking about. That's like a Thanksgiving classic. Have you guys ever had a deep-fried turkey?
Yes, I have, yeah.
My
Sadly,
no.
goodness. I've only had one once. Lewis, it was the most delicious, juicy, succulent bird I have ever had. Like, the outside was just... It was, like, crispy, you know, hard to the touch. You could knock on a table, and it would sound like that. And then you bite into that crunch, and then the meat in there just squirts you in the face with juice.
With the juice,
like,
yeah.
It's like watching that scene where that guy in Lord of the Rings is like eating while that hobbit is singing and he's squirting juice all over his face. It was just like that. It was the most succulent turkey I've ever had.
Oh God, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, me too. And then the wing is just pure manna from heaven. You know, you bite into it and it just crunches.
Oh God, you're killing me.
You know, because there's like three parts of the wing. There's the thigh. Is that, did they call it the thigh? No, that's not,
the
that's
thigh is
the
not
leg.
Part of the wing.
You know what, Lewis? Chickens have two sets of thighs. They have some on the legs, and then they have some on the wings. So why don't you back off? I like the wing thigh. And then there's like the mid-shaft, right? The mid-shaft with the two bones in it.
Yeah, delicious.
That part's good. I usually save that part for last. And then there's the tip, like the very tip, which just has the one bone. And you get that nice and crunchy.
Oh, man.
The best part of Thanksgiving is the next day when you put all the when you have a sandwich, a turkey sandwich with leftovers. That's always the best.
When you're just browsing the internet for the best Black Friday deals.
Yeah.
Which have already begun. They started the day after we released the show last week. I think they started last Friday. I've been having to institute some serious self-control. The Black Friday deals this year they're out of control. They're all over the place. And I'm seeing discounts that I've never seen before and stuff. And I'm just having to pace myself, you know, because you just want to buy it all. I almost bought a damned PC today because the price was so insane. There was this gaming PC on sale and it had unbelievable specs and they dropped the price like 25%. And I was like, I don't need a PC. I almost pulled the trigger on that PC, but I don't need a PC. So I'm not going to do it. I don't need it.
Precisely.
But that's not a good reason not to buy it. How is it?
You don't need it.
If the price is right, you can't let little details like I don't need this item stop you from getting what you deserve.
I'm not going to buy anything this year. Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Nothing.
It's too late for me.
I'm going to get rid of some stuff.
Oh, yeah. What are you going to get rid of?
Actually, I might buy some stuff on the Cult of Mike Watch store. We're just having a Thanksgiving sale, which we'll talk about in a minute. But
No, you should talk about that now. It's a great, great segue because you're having some serious sales. And then we'll actually get into some Apple news here.
All right. Yeah. So we have 25 to 50% off select bands. Quite a few things are on sale. They've got some really nice bands from Riley & Lowe. They're elasticated steel bands. They're some of my favorites. I really like that. Like the Twister Flex.
Oh, man, I love those. I think those are probably the best Apple Watch bands out there.
Yeah, they're really, really good bands. Really, really good bands. And these are 25% off, which is a good deal. And Riley & Lowe is like a nice little company, you know, like a mom-and-pop place. We have, you know, sale on survival straps, 25% off those. Those are the ones that are made up of that paracord, you know. So if you're out in the woods and you get raped by a bear, and
you have to... You can hang yourself afterwards.
You undo the watch strap and it converts into like some paracord. This is good for like tying up your shoes and stuff and rescuing yourself and stuff like that. It'll even tow a car, I believe, right? So,
oh.
What? Tow a car?
It will save you from bear rape and you can tow a car with it. This is the most versatile watch strap out there, undeniably.
Indeed, right. Yeah, people love those. And we've also got some nice... We've got 33% off... autumn. They have nice sandalwood wood straps. Uh-huh. These look really unusual. You know, they're made out of Indonesian sandalwood. Huh. And they're really comfortable. They're really nice looking. They're really distinctive. I like them. I like them a lot. They're great bands. And then, of course, we have various savings on quite a few leather bands. So that's at the Cult of Match watch store.
Which is, we forgot to mention the URL last week when we talked about this, believe it or not. So what is it?
Store.cultofmac.com.
Store.cultofmac.com. Okay,
and
there you go.
And the sale goes live on, remind me, Lewis, when does it go?
It goes live probably...
I think
midnight.
You guys
midnight.
Don't even know.
I think it's midnight tomorrow between the 2 days,
yeah,
right? Like
right.
Thursday night, Friday morning,
sometime
midnight.
Between Pacific. Now and after Black Friday, these are going to be live.
And I keep coming back. I keep checking. And
yeah, right.
It is. No, it goes live at midnight Pacific on Thursday night. So, Friday morning, Black Friday morning, it'll be live. It'll be ready. Okay. And goes all the way through to Monday.
I'm not sure I'm going to make it to Monday. I've already almost bought a TV. I almost bought a PC. I almost bought a bunch of other crap that was discounted so heavily, I convinced myself that I possibly needed it. I'm going to be dead and broke by Monday. So we'll see. We'll see how I fare. Store.cultofmac.com. Okay, let's mention this one real fast before I get into the MacBook Pro trade-up story, because I'm sure that's what is going to be the most interesting from today's show. So... Apple stock still tanking badly. I'm just following up from last week. Oh, looks like it's actually... Oh, no, it's still down. It's, all the other stock is up today, and Apple stock is down 0.11%. Oh, my gosh. It's down to 176.78, which is... that's down from a high of 232 in August. So Apple stock is absolutely getting hammered. There was a Wall Street Journal report out this week that said Apple has reduced its orders for both the XS and the XR. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is bad news for Apple, right? They are just getting sold off here. But I was looking at the stock market over the last couple of days, and this seems to actually be a larger trend. It's not just Apple that's getting hammered. It's the entire stock market. The Dow is way down. My friend, I was telling you guys, I wanted to tell you this quick story. My friend, so they work for Amazon, okay? This is some insider baseball, and I won't mention their name so that I can tell you all these juicy details. My friend works for Amazon, and I was talking to them about what it's like working there, and I always ask about compensation and bonuses and that type of thing. And they were telling me they got stock options for bonuses, and I was like, well, you don't have to tell me how much it was, but just give me like a ballpark, like was it enough to buy like a car, enough to buy like a high-end car? And they said it was $300,000. They got $300,000 in stock options. This person has been there for between 2 and 4 years, and they have stock worth $300,000. Amazon is now down 25%, which means that stock has dropped, I don't know, what is that? What is three-fourths of
$300,000? $75,000.
So there you go. So it's dropped $75,000 in the last month. So if you're looking at your 401k and you're thinking, oh, if you're thinking about getting one of those paracords and hanging yourself with it.
Exactly, wow. Right. Now's a good time. 25% off.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, yeah. We should offer it just to Amazon employees.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
That's grim.
And Apple ones, too.
Yeah, their stock is way down. So I think it's going to pop back up in the new year. I think there's just a sell-off happening.
Well, yeah.
Stocks
it's a wider,
have been bullish for the last 2 years. I mean,
Facebook's way down. They're saying the tech sector has been dragging it down, but the whole stock market's down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you mentioned, a lot of people are talking about these, production cuts, and I saw an interesting comment on about these, saying that, for one, this happens every single year, and what's different this year is that it's earlier in the cycle. Usually, it's in Q1. That there are these reports that Apple's cut production. And of course they cut production because it's, after the holiday quarter, people buy less phones, right? So
good
there's
point.
the natural cycle. Apple cuts production in the Q1. They seem to have cut it. The difference is that they've cut it in Q4, right, this year. But someone mentioned in the comments that was that they think this is because Apple stockpiled so many in the run-up. Like the unusual thing about the all the phones that were launched is that there were no shortages, right?
definitely not of the 10R. Yeah, that thing was widely available from...
Well, the 10S and the 10S Max, I mean, you could basically, you could more or less get that. You know, there weren't really major shortages of this. You know, like in the 10, 2 years ago, there was, you know, the thing was constrained all the way into the new year, wasn't it? You couldn't get it until the spring, really, right? Mm-hmm. Am I remember that correctly?
Yeah, yeah. This is one of the smoothest launches of iPhone that I've seen.
Yeah, right, exactly. So this person's theory was that Apple banked so many in the run-up, you know, in the ramp before the thing launched. They had such a huge stockpile that we didn't see shortages. And the reason they're cutting the production now is because this is your absolutely routine, nothing to worry about, nothing to panic about. Q1 production cut that just comes a bit earlier because they happen to make so many, you know, in the fall before the thing launched.
That's a really smart theory.
I thought it was a good theory. And we heard this thing, like they were saying, and you know this is baloney, these reports are baloney, because, you know, last year it had exactly the same reports, the stock tanked, and then when Apple comes out with its Q4 earnings, lo and behold, you know, these things they said the same thing about the 10, you know, last year, last January, like a year ago, earlier this year in January. Same thing, cut production, things tanking. Apple comes out with its results, and lo and behold, one of the best-selling phones they've ever released.
Of course, they're not going to give us that detail anymore.
No.
So now we're
Which is why people are
happened.
Freaking out. This just plays into that narrative that these things are a thing. I don't believe these. I think these are bunk, you know? I don't believe these reports.
Well, they just don't have any context. So you hear that they've cut orders, which may be true. If the Wall Street Journal is reporting it, it probably is true. But you don't know why they're cutting their orders. Like you said, there's a myriad of reasons why they could have cut them. And I think that theory, it sounds like it may be the case, because look how smooth it was for launch. This phone seemed like it was pretty hyped, and you could just go into an Apple store and buy one, and there are no shortages. And I don't think Apple wants to have shortages when they launch a phone.
No, absolutely not. No, not at all. They want to sell everyone they can,
I mean, they want it to be a little bit elusive so that you go and you act, right?
They like the headlines, obviously, that this thing's in huge demand, that there are shortages, but it doesn't, you know, really serve them very well. It's better to have a phone, you know, enough supply to satisfy everyone who wants to buy one.
Yeah, you want them to have like a small wait, you know. I want the phone. Oh, well, we can get it to you in a few days or a week or something. Yeah. So you're like, oh man, I really want it bad now. So you're willing to plurk down the money, and then they surprise and delight you by sending it to you like 2 days down the road or something.
Have you got your watch yet, talking to that?
I was just going to ask.
No, I have not gotten it.
My God.
I have not gotten it. Yeah.
Can you cancel that order?
And do what, Lewis? They're sold out everywhere.
You could make your own quicker than waiting for Apple to come up.
I could write watchOS. Yeah, I mean, I could probably make my own at this point. Fly to China, cobble together the components.
Right, like that guy. We could put you in touch with him.
Maybe, yeah. I'll let you know. This is exactly what I was worried about. Do you remember I said this on a past show? They're going to get to a point where you start to run up against the holidays, and people are going to start ordering these again. It's like a second burst of orders for these devices.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is going to be the hot thing this holiday too. So you better, you know, oh, you've had it. You might as well forget it.
I'm sure I'll get it by Christmas 2019. So, and actually, I didn't tell you guys. I actually decided to go with the 40mm instead of the 44.
What kind of pansy are you?
Hey, you watch your mouth.
I went to the Apple store and I tried it on for like the fifth time and just sat there and looked at it and went, And the 44 just doesn't look right on my wrist. It's too big. And I tried on the 40 and it looks perfect. It looks much more similar in size to my current 42mm. So I decided, why spend the extra money? Why? I'm always drawn to the biggest and best that Apple has, regardless of if I need it, you know? And so I said, you know what? I'm going to take a note from my iPhone XR purchase, which I bought and I loved. I love that phone. And I'm just going to try it and see how I like it. I'll try something new. And so once I get that in the next 3 to 6 months, I'll let you guys know exactly how I like it. But I can't believe how long it's taking. It's crazy.
Which these things are available for pickup in stores today?
Are they?
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly what model you have, but
yeah. Well, I had a listener hook me up with their corporate discount.
Some of them aren't, actually. So, yeah, who knows?
They're still sold out, man. They're still sold out. I mean, if I went to the Apple Store, I could probably get one. If I ordered at the Apple Store, it might be ready in a week or so, would be my guess. But my Apple Watch has got to be almost ready. I mean, I've been waiting. Well, I was waiting for the 44. That order got canceled, and then I reordered the 40. So maybe I'm at the end of the line now, which is why it's taking so long. In any case, I'm going to be very excited. Just think how excited I'll be once I finally get it after all the waiting I did. Okay, so before we talk about my tale of three MacBooks, my quest to have my MacBook Pro traded up to the new model, let me go ahead and say thank you to Gontry for supporting this episode. Do you want to give someone you love something cool and truly unique this year? Check out the designer 3D printed lights from Gontry. That's G-A-N-T-R-I. Gontry is a new startup from San Francisco that offers design-forward 3D printed lights created by independent designers from all over the world. Unlike traditional marketplaces, they actually help these designers bring their unique design ideas to life. And it's a process that's usually too expensive for the designers to do on their own. So they need someone to help them market them and create them. All the products are created on the Gontry platform, and you won't find them anywhere else. Gontry manufactures products in the Bay Area using their own 3D printing process, and they redesign 3D printing machines and the process and the materials to make these really high. I mean, wait till you see them. They're like museum quality pieces. You won't believe that these things are 3D printed. You would never be able to guess that. They use custom corn-dried materials and have added many steps to the process to make products that are really smooth and high quality. And since 3D printing is so efficient, their production process is far more sustainable. And if you're interested to see how the lights look at home, you can use their AR view feature to visualize the light right on your desk. It's actually really slick. You go to their website and you can use ARKit to show the light on your desk. They sent me one of these. It is an absolutely gorgeous museum quality piece. It's beautiful. I mean, 3D printing aside, all the other stuff that I just said about Gontry aside, the light itself is just a beautiful light. If you're a fan of lighting, then you should definitely check it out. And they're very, very affordable because they make them themselves. GANTRI.com/cultcast to see all of their different products. And I think you'll be really impressed with the cool modern looking designs that they have. And if you want to purchase one, you can use code CULTCAST during checkouts and you'll get $20 off your purchase. That's gontry.com/cultcast, GANTRI.com/cultcast. Really cool company too. I spent like an hour on the phone with their CEO just talking about how he built the company and stuff. And they're doing some really unique, very cool stuff. Very cool company to support. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, right. So let me tell you a tale of three MacBooks. So as many of you know, I've been trying to get Apple to upgrade my MacBook Pro and let me trade it in and pay the extra money to have the GPU upgraded because the new Vega 20 GPUs, they're monsters. I mean, the benchmarks have just started coming out. They're between 25 and 30% faster over the 560X GPUs, which were the current high-end GPUs that they had for 3 months before they obsoleted that GPU. And that was in benchmarks. Well, they're probably going to be even faster in Final Cut Pro. Dave2D, who is a popular YouTuber, he just did a render test. He was the guy that put the MacBook Pro in the freezer. And the Vega 20 was almost twice as fast as the previous 560X in his Premiere Pro render test. So if you are a video editor, these new MacBook Pros with the upgraded GPUs, they cost more, between $250 and $350, depending on which model GPU you choose. They are absolutely worth it, in my opinion. So I've been telling everyone, go into your Apple Store and ask them to trade up, because I know that the managers often have a lot of autonomy to take care of customers. And so here are the different experiences that our listeners have had, and then I'll tell you my story. So first of all, Nick Calderon. Sounds like I like that name. It sounds like a spicy Spanish dancer who carries like a rose in his teeth and then touches it on your face before he grabs onto you and makes you do the cha-cha. What dance do they do?
The tango.
The tango. Come with me. Maybe that's the maneuver he pulled on his manager, because his manager, oh my gosh. So he goes into his store. First of all, he bought it from the Apple Store, right? About, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. So way outside of his return period. His Apple Store manager, super cool to him. Oh, man, no problem. they swap out his MacBook Pro, and then they give him a discount on the MacBook Pro. Whoa. So not only did he get the upgrade, he got a discount as well. They transferred over his Apple Care from his old machine to his new machine. You know, just completely took care of him, sent him on his way, and he is sitting there with his brand new MacBook Pro, and he's loving the experience that he had. And
that
then there's
class.
There you go. That's why people pay the big bucks for Apple stuff. This is the kind of service that they expect, right? And yeah. Then there's James Chang, listener James Chang. He had the exact opposite experience. He also bought his MacBook Pro from the Apple Store, although I think it was probably, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. He goes into his Apple Store. No, absolutely not. We don't even know what you're talking about. We don't have the ability to do what you're asking us to do. We're not going to swap out your MacBook Pro. And they tell him to call like the Apple customer service phone number. So he does. And the guys on the AppleCare customer service phone number were like, we can't do anything for you. If you like, what you can do is, you know, you can trade your MacBook Pro back to Apple via that trade-in program. And then take the money and buy a new MacBook Pro. You know, just adding insult to injury, right? You just paid over $3,000 for this machine, and we'll let you trade it into us, and we'll give you $2,000. Then you can use that money to buy a new one. And then if that wasn't a big enough slap, and he was like, no, I'm not doing that, they suggested that he go buy one of the new eGPUs for $1,100 to make up for the fact that his GPU was not as fast as the newest model. So, extremely different experiences there. James Chang is pissed, as you can imagine, that his Apple Store won't take care of him. So, here's my story. So, I'm like, you got to go in there. You got to be firm, but you have to be kind, and you have to be really polite. Okay. So, I pack up my MacBook Pro. I put it in my backpack. I head to my local local Apple Store. I go in there, and I'm greeted, hey, man, how's it going today? What can I do for you? And I'm like, hey, I had a really frustrating experience with my MacBook Pro. You know, I don't know if you guys will be willing to help me, but I'd really like to talk to the manager and see what he can do for me. Oh, no problem. Let me go get the manager. So he disappears for a minute, and this guy starts walking over towards me. I'm like, this is the manager? This guy's like 25 years old. And sure enough, this was the manager, and I think he was probably like in his late 20s. So he comes over. And he says, well, you know, what's the problem? And I said, you know, I'm really frustrated with my MacBook Pro experience. And I don't know if you'll be willing to help me, but you guys have given me excellent customer service in the past. And in fact, you've done things I thought you would never do. So I thought I'd come in and at least ask. And by the way, I was using that language very specifically, because if you say, I don't know if you'll be willing to help me, but I hope you can, you're asking for that person's help. They're much more likely to give you their help than they are to give you a brand new MacBook Pro, okay? So you got to be careful how you ask, and you want to be nice. Again, so I say, I bought this MacBook Pro, you know, 2.5 months ago, and then you guys went and you swapped out the processor for these insanely faster models, and I just feel like I can't trust Apple. I mean, you guys only release new MacBook Pros every 4 to 5 quarters. You have us trained. When the MacBook Pro comes out, that's what you're going to have for the next year. They're not going to change. That's unprecedented. And I feel like you should give me the option to give this machine back to you. Let me pay you for the GPU and swap out the machines. And that's when he started to argue with me. He's like, oh, you know, but you had it, you know, 2.5 months, and that's a long time. You've gotten a lot of use out of it. And we didn't know that Apple was going to do this. And I listened to him talk for a little while. Don't cut him off. And I said, yeah, but you know what, man? Imagine this. Imagine if I had bought an iPhone and 3 months later, Apple had significantly improved the camera in some insane way. You would have a mob on your hands. People would be absolutely irate. They'd be coming out here with pitchforks. And then his entire countenance changed. And he goes, you're right. You're right. And he's like, let's see what we can do for you. And I was like, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Right, so we start walking back toward the counter, and I'm feeling great because this guy is going to give me the hookup, and I can just feel it in my bones. So we start walking towards the area where he's going to get the deal done.
I know how this story's going to end already, though.
And he said, how long did you buy it? And I said, I took delivery of it on September 1st. And he's like, great. I'm like, yeah, I bought it from one of your authorized retailers. And he stops in his tracks and he looks at me and he said, you bought it from a third party retailer? And I'm like, yeah, one of the Apple authorized retailers. And his entire countenance changed. And he goes, I'm really sorry. There's absolutely nothing I can do for you. And I was like, what? I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, I can't do anything for you because you didn't buy it from Apple. And I said, dude, are you telling me that buying an Apple computer from one of your authorized retailers entitles you to a second class tier of customer service? And he just nodded. And he said, we always recommend people buy it from us, directly from us, because we have options at that point. He's like, there's literally nothing I can do for you. He was like, if there was, I would do it for you. But I have no ability to swap out your machine for a brand new machine. We can't return a machine we didn't sell. And yeah. I said, well, what about repairing it? Just repair the motherboard and install repair. Like the better GPU. And he's like, it doesn't work that way. We can't install a new motherboard with specs that aren't supported by your machine. You have to have a new machine. And I was gutted. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you were walking me back to give me okay. the new machine, weren't you? And he's like, yeah, I was going to swap it out for you and give you what you God. Wanted. So moral of the story is do not buy an Apple computer ever from a third party. Don't buy it from Best Buy. Don't buy it from Adorama. Don't buy it from B&H. Unless you're absolutely sure, which I don't know how you could be, that you're not going to want to return it for some unknown reason, because if you don't buy it from Apple, you are a second class citizen to them and they will do nothing to help you.
Wow.
Twists insurance.
Is that what happened to the other fella?
Well,
that's what I was going to ask.
I don't think so. I asked James Chang where he got his MacBook and he said that he bought it directly from Apple. And I also heard that Apple has a secret 90-day policy where they will let you, well, I should rephrase that, where they are able to, on a per-case basis, completely swap out your machine if you make a stink. And it's up to the manager to make that determination, which is why I always say, be nice, be cool, be polite, be respectful, and they'll probably be willing to help you. And just make your case, which is what I did. And I just told the guy, I'm like, look, I mean, you position these MacBook Pros as video editing dream machines, and the GPU that you came out with, it could save me hundreds of hours over the course of 3 or 4 years. I mean, these machines aren't cheap. Most people buy them and they use them over a course of 3 to 4 years. That's a huge time savings. I mean, you're talking about a savings of thousands of dollars in time, and it's just not fair for Apple to not give pros the option to spec up to these new GPUs. You're really screwing them. And he agreed. He was just sitting there nodding as I was talking. And anyway, there's nothing he can do. So,
why did you buy from a third party anyway? Did you get some savings on it?
I got some savings, but you know, the ironic part was I didn't get any savings over what I could have gotten from Apple. I just happened to have saw that this retailer was having a sale. And so I just bit, you know? And I even thought, like, should I be doing this or should I go through Apple? But there's no reason, there was no reason in my mind to not buy it from a third party. I mean, they're Apple's authorized retailers, right? You would think, and I even said this to the manager, I'm like, they all come from the same place. They're all coming from Apple. Why does it make a difference? And he said, it does. It makes a difference. I mean, the SKU number for the product that you bought is totally different. Like, Apple doesn't even keep those in their stock. That's a SKU that's specific to that retailer.
Really?
That's what he said. Huh. And I mean, we went back and forth. I tried twisting his arm a little bit, and I could tell he felt terrible because he was walking me back there to swap out my machine.
Yeah, that's and so he had to stop.
That
close.
Is heartbreaking.
Yeah, right? I mean, I was at the very end. And my friend was saying, well, why did you tell him where you got it from? I'm like, dude, he's not going to just go get a machine from the back and hand it to me. Like, he's going to go into the computer system and he's going to verify my order. You know, like, there has to be an order in their system by me for that machine. So my last effort is going to be, well, I have two things. I'm going to write Tim Cook an email, okay? And then we'll see what he says. And the manager even suggested I do this. By the way, the manager was great. I have no complaints about the manager. He was really nice, really professional, And I felt like he was doing his best to try to help me. He even offered, he's like, we can give you a big discount on a new machine. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to discount it as much as I'm going to lose by selling this machine and buying a new machine.
Well, how much would you lose, do you think, if you sold it?
Well, I don't know. I should have asked him. I should have asked him. But I just said no, and then I went on my way. But I actually might call back and see what the discount will be, because if it's like 25%, which I doubt it will be that high, then actually it might be worth it, because that way I could buy that discounted machine and then take a loss on my machine, and it would still even out because Apple's taking the hit, not me, since they're discounting the new machine. But I'll have to call them back and ask about that. But there you go. That's what I've learned. Well, is that the ending you guys expected?
No. I thought
you thought I was going to get it.
No, I thought he was going to say, "Well, you know, we can." You know, I thought you were going to tell us the same James's story in the same one. Well, you know, we can. You know, give you a discount on getting a new machine, and you'd still be out of money. That's how I thought it was going to end up. Well, then you're going to get the same experience as James.
That is how it ended
up. Well, it is more or less. For a different reason.
Although, James, I think, bought his from the Apple store, so he should have gotten his MacBook Pro replaced. I don't know why his Apple store was so resistant.
He needs to start shopping it around different stores.
That's not a bad idea. But you only have 90 days, so if you're in that 90-day window, you might be okay. If you're outside of that 90-day window, if you bought yours in July when they were released, you're totally screwed. Apple's not going to do anything for you at all. So I'll write a letter to Tim Cook. And then honestly, Leander, I think I'm going to write something for Cult of Mac. And if you'll post it, I would like to just outline what I think Apple needs to do, because they're screwing over their pro users. This really is a giant middle finger to their pro users. I mean, with one hand, I said this in previous shows, with one hand, Apple's collecting money for this machine that they're positioning as a portable, you know, video editing dream machine. But with the other hand, they're preparing a GPU update, which will be the GPU they know all their pros are actually going to want and would have actually waited for if they had just told them that this update was going to be available. So I really don't think they're treating their pros very well in this instance. And I think it really makes sense for Apple to offer some type of trade-up program. And just imagine if we post this on Cult of Mac and then Apple does it. Boom.
Wishful thinking, but yeah, worth a try.
You'll be a hero.
They're going to ignore it completely. That's what's going to happen. But the manager at the very end, he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, look, you got a new MacBook Pro. It's one of the nicest ones that's out there. He's like, it's a lot better than getting raped by a bear.
Yeah, right. Without a paracord.
And I said, that's a great point, sir. That is a great point, and I felt much better after that, and that's when I walked
out.
That's
why he's the manager. He knows what he's doing. Yeah, that's a very good, nice words. Very comforting.
So, there you go.
Wow.
Thought I was getting my hands on a brand new, beautiful 15-inch MacBook Pro with that Radeon 20. Whew. I'll probably just buy a new one next year and try to sell this one.
Yeah. Well, you know, they retain their prices, although if someone knows what they're doing, they're not going to buy yours.
Right? That's the part that really stings, is if you're a pro, why would you buy mine? You're going to get one with the newer GPU, because the newer GPUs are so much faster and so much better than the ones that they basically obsoleted. They obsoleted that machine in 3 months, essentially. 3 months. Because the lower-end GPU is like the 555X. So if you don't care about GPU, you would just go for that one. Why would you go for the 560X? That doesn't make any sense.
That's why God made eBay.
There you go.
On eBay.
I heard that Apple is giving a pretty significant Black Friday sale this year. They have like 4 days of Black Friday sales. And I heard that if you buy like the top tier MacBook Pro, they'll discount it $17.
How much?
$17.
Oh, I thought you said 1700. Yeah.
Oh, no.
My headphones wobbled for a second there.
Yeah, just 17.
$17. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That is indeed substantial. They give you a nice bag, though. Really high quality bag they'll slide
that
into.
The nicest plastic bag that you've ever gotten from a retail location. And it's $7 more of a discount than last year. So it's quite a lot larger. Okay, we're making people's stomachs sour. They just finished their turkey, and here we are making all these bad jokes. Let's go ahead and wrap it up here. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Hey, if you want to come tell us about your MacBook Pro trade-up experiences, I'd love to hear from you. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. So is Lewis and Leander, at Lewis Wallace, at L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll gobble you guys next time. I got to give it one more. Gobble, gobble, yeah! He probably makes like a turkey sound. How does a turkey sound? And he flaps his arms. Angela Ahrens thinks it's hilarious. Eddie Q's still asleep. One, two, three.
Boom. Right until the very last one. It was almost as good as, you know, a track on a record.
What's that? What do you mean?
It sounded great, man. We were in sync. It was awesome.
Oh, the first one was terrible, though.
Oh, it sounded perfect.
Like Buster was over there.
I thought it sounded perfect.
You're kidding.
Oh,
great.
To me,
which homeless shelter is Buster going for Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, no.
He doesn't even have to dress up.
Jeez.
Is he still living in a van, really, in his hometown?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
He should move to San Francisco, although there's a lot of people living in vans here.
I heard that he doesn't even use a napkin anymore. He just uses his beard to wipe his mouth. Right.
Well, he'd been doing that anyway, hadn't he?
Well, I used to joke about it, but then it turned out to be real.
True.
That's why you never laughed at that one. Okay.